Magandang gabi po sa ating lahat. Ayun, parang kanina pinractice na natin to eh. Magandang gabi po sa ating lahat. Praise God. Ako po si Aaron, isa po sa mga members ng church na ito, and ako po ay nagagalak to be standing here once again, delivering God's word. And if I would just remember, this time last year ay nung pong sinimulan natin pag-aralan ito pong book ng Colossians. Ibig pong sabihin, November 15, we'll have been 1 year as members ng Crossroads Church, yung aming pong family, at yung mga kabatch ko nung kami po ay tinanggap into membership. And so we are so thankful sa Panginoon for that. And also we're thankful po sa inyong lahat who have accepted us into membership. Kayo pong lahat ay isang encouragement po sa amin. Just recently, kung hindi po ninyo alam, kami po ay pinagkalooban ng Panginoon ng aming pang-apat na anak. Kasalukuyan po siyang kumakain sa mga oras pong ito. Some of you may have known na before po i-deliver si Danny, ay kami po ay nagkaroon ng COVID ni Sister Nikki. At yung pong day ng kanyang delivery, the day before that is yung pong last day ng aming quarantine. And so imagine how exciting that is with schooling ng mga bata, with your wife being pregnant, with you having COVID, and you know, and ministry. Parang yung ministry yung burden. Hindi po, it's a joy to serve yung pong church. And like what I've said, you have been a part of that journey and yung aming pong year's journey dito sa Crossroads. And we are thankful for you. We are encouraged. You have been a tremendous encouragement po para sa amin. And I hope that me and our family are also an encouragement po sa inyo. And speaking of encouragement, this brings us to the book that we are about to study sa gabi pong ito. We are continuing yung pong ating pag-aaral in the book of Colossians. What do we know so far from this book? Well, we know that the Apostle Paul wrote Colossians. He has written it to encourage yung pong mga Christians in Colossae to keep living for Jesus. He has written that letter, kung inyo pong maalala, to encourage them to keep on believing the gospel. Bakit po? Because there is a danger in their midst. Well, you might have thought of persecution, pero by this time na sinulat po niya yung kanyang letter to them, they are not yet being persecuted. Again, at least not yet. Persecution will come for sure, yeah. Pero nung panahon pong ito, there is a different kind of threat sa mga taga Colossae. Yung danger po na kanilang kinakaharap is a danger of assimilation. Ito pong danger of being captivated by different philosophies, different ideas. Because katulad po ng Dubai, ito pong city ng Colossae ay isa pong melting pot. Yung po yung description ko when we started. Ito po ang ating pag-aaral, hindi po ba? Ito po ay lugar kung saan people from different places come together and live. And so kung meron kang mga tao coming from different countries, believing different beliefs or having different beliefs, meron po silang iba't ibang religion, different cultures, then meron pong danger of being enticed doon po sa kanilang mga kanya-kanyang mga beliefs. And so, yung pong danger of abandoning Jesus Christ, rejecting the gospel for the sake of other belief is a very real threat to them. And so from a prison cell of around AD 60, a man who wore yung pong mantle of being an apostle and at the same time wearing yung pong shackles of being a prisoner has written this letter to a group of Christian believers that he had never met. Ito pong congregation in Colossae ay hindi pa po nakikita face to face ni Apostle Paul. Paul wrote to the Colossians the truth so that they would not be victims of false teachings. But before we look at our passage tonight, let me bring us up to speed, at least through the first chapter ng Colossians. Chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 identifies yung pong author, yung pong recipient, at yung pong kanyang greetings para sa mga taong ito. And then in verses 3 hanggang 14, Paul gives his thanksgiving at yung kanya pong panalangin sa Diyos for the Colossians. First, he thanks God for the gospel was bearing fruit and increasing. Ito po ay yung sako po ng gospel is being preached. And not only did he thank God for that, but he also prayed na ito pong mga Christians in Colossae would live their lives worthy of the Lord. And that they would be fully pleasing Him. He asked God that they would grow and be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And then in verses 15 hanggang 23, he talks about yung pong supremacy ni Jesus Christ and His work. He says that Jesus, siya po yung visible manifestation ng Panginoon, who is our eternal creator and reconciler, who has supremacy na meron pong authority over the universe and the church. And then in verses 24 ng chapter 1 hanggang chapter 2, verse 7, Paul talks about his ministry. He says that ministry is hard. And yung pong ministry is to bring believers into maturity in Christ. And then in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, he circles back dun po sa kanyang encouragement and exhortation, somewhat concluding yung pong first part na yon, saying, therefore, of course, when we see therefore, it's a concluding statement. He says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Very straightforward. If you believe in Christ, if you say that you have received Christ, ito yung dapat effect. You are to walk in Him. Hindi lang po lip service. Walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Which brings us, dito po sa ating passage tonight, Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 hanggang 15. We see here Paul continuing yung kanya pong exhortation, yung kanya pong instructions, and gives warning against false teachings in Colossae. Ito pong 8 to 15 is part of a larger section which goes until verse 23 ng chapter 2 where he warns yung pong mga believers about the danger of turning aside to heresy. And so as we hear God's word tonight, I pray that with all the different religions, beliefs, and cultures that is surrounding us, dito po, sa lugar ng Dubai, I pray that we would not be captivated by them. Not even giving an inch of ourselves, an inch of our time dun sa mga false beliefs na yon. But rather, that we would see Christ and find that He is sufficient and that He is more than enough sa ating pong buhay. This is our main idea for tonight. Mga kapatid, let us not be enticed by false teachings, but instead be captivated by the truth of our sufficiency in Christ. Let us not be enticed by false teachings, but instead be captivated by the truth of our sufficiency in Christ. I've divided this passage into three parts. Una, in verse 8 ng chapter 2, Paul gives a warning. Ano po yung kanyang warning? Do not be captivated, do not be taken captive by false teaching. And then in verses 9 and 10, he gives the reason kung bakit po tayo hindi dapat maging captive by false teaching. He says, because Christ is fully God and because we are full in Him. There is a play in words dun sa ginamit na yun ni Paul in verses 9 and 10. And lastly, he gives us an excursus or a discussion about our completeness in Christ in verses 11 hanggang 15, which I also put subpoints na kung saan We are made complete by spiritual circumcision, and we are made complete when He made us spiritually alive. Let's begin. Verse 8, the warning. Do not be taken captive by false teachings. Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. The Apostle Paul here strongly urges yung pong mga Christians in Colossae to keep watch. Bantayan po nila. That no one may deceive them of false and heretical teachings. Hindi po ito yung first time na kung saan si Paul ay nagbigay ng warning sa kanya pong sulat. If we would remember, at the beginning of chapter 2, he lets them know of how great yung kanya pong struggle for those in Laodicea, not only to them, even for those in Colossae and Hierapolis. Ito po yung tatlong city within the Lycus Valley na most probably yung pong sulat na ito ay umikot dun sa mga congregations doon. These people have not seen Paul face to face. Tandaan po natin yan. He tells them na yung kanya pong ginagawa, yung kanyang struggle for them, is so that, in verses 2 to 4 ng chapter 2, he says, so that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery. And he says, kung sino po yung mystery na yon, that is Christ. And then he says in verse 3, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then listen to this in verse 4, I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. Verse 4 is somewhat a soft encouragement or warning para po sa mga Colossae, mga taga-Colossae. And then he is somewhat hoping that by saying these things dun po sa mga Christians in Colossae, that they will not be deluded. Pero dito po sa verse 8, he takes it up a notch. He puts it up in the next level and exhorts them. Actually, he commands them. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive. There is a sense of being watchful dun po sa mga philosophies that they may be encountering sa bawat araw ng kanilang pamumuhay. But let me be clear, what Paul is condemning dun sa kanya pong sulat is he's not against all philosophies. He's not giving a broad sweep na when you hear something about a philosophy, it's immediately a no. Hindi po ganon. He's not generalizing yung mga philosophies na ito. But he is instead condemning a particular kind of philosophy. Dito po sa construction nito sa original language, we would know dahil meron pong definite article before dun po sa word na philosophia. In other words, we can translate this as the philosophy. There is a particularity dun po sa klase ng philosophy na yan. And besides, we would know that this is a particular philosophy because of how Paul describes ito pong philosophy na ito. He says it's an empty philosophy that deceives. And not only that, he says it's according to human tradition, it's according to the elemental spirits of the world, and lastly, it's not according to Christ. Do you see how Paul describes ito pong deceptive teachings na ito that's perhaps prevalent nung panahon na yon? It distorts yung pong entire perspective nung tao who may have fallen dun sa philosophy na yon. Why? Because it's a philosophy. It's a worldview, so to speak. That is the lens through which that person would view life and everything. It's misleading and it's worthless. That's why it's called empty and empty deceit. And it is not according to God's eternal truths. Bakit? Because it's based on human traditions. yung pong origin ng philosophies na ito ay human. There is no divine truth to this philosophy. It's according to the elemental spirits or basic principles of this world. Ilang commentators would say that it refers to the evil spirits who inspire ito pong heresy na ito. Others say that it refers to elementary or basic principles that are fit for children. Katulad po ng ABC, 1, 2, 3, at Doremi. Very basic. Na kung saan these people are proud of what they're teaching, but in reality, those are just basic principles. Ibig pong sabihin, ito pong mga so-called philosophies na ito is like going back to spiritual kindergarten. But what is interesting is that earlier, dun po sa chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, Paul says that in Christ, yung binasa ko po kanina, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And yet, ito pong philosophy na ito, he says, is not according to Christ. The reason why this philosophy is empty is because Christ is not there. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. There is no wisdom, there is no knowledge without Christ. The reason why it's deceitful is because Christ is not there. There is no truth because Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. Mga kapatid, let us be on alert for false teachings. Let us not be naive and think na ito pong problema ng mga taga-Kulose is a first century problem. We have this sa panahon po natin ngayon. This is not far from what we are experiencing right now. And sa lugar po katulad nito, katulad ng Dubai, there are a lot of different philosophies that could lure us away from the gospel, away from Christ. Be warned, as Paul warns them, to watch out for this kind of philosophy. It was a very real threat then. It's a very real threat now. It was both deceitful, ensnaring, and enticing. And then Paul gives us two reasons for the warning, which brings us to point number 2 from verses 9 and 10. Ano po yung reason? We are not to be taken captive by these philosophies because Christ is fully God and we are full in Him. Verses 9 and 10, it says, "For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority." Verse 9 gives us yung pong grounds for the exhortation, yung pong basis ng kanyang exhortation. And that is, "For in Him, in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." Again, this is not the first time that Paul says this. In chapter 1, verse 9, he already said, "For in Him, in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." Same thought. Alam po natin that the Greeks, they have a pantheon of gods. Kung hindi po tens, could be hundreds, even thousands. They worship, they sacrifice, they pray to different kinds of gods. And so contrary dun po sa emptiness and deceitfulness nitong philosophies na ito, verse 9 tells us that in Jesus, and hindi po dun sa mga gods ng mga Greeks, not even to the gods of Eastern religions like Hinduism and Buddhism. It's in Jesus is where the fullness of God dwells. Paul affirms that Christ is the real and actual presence of God Himself in bodily form. We know that Jesus is God incarnate. Therefore, to be taken captive by another philosophy is indeed empty deceit. Because kung makukuha ka, may entice ka ng kakaibang philosophies na ito, which is apart from Christ, where there is no fullness, it's empty. Nonsense. In saying that, Paul does not only reject yung pong denial of the reality of the incarnation, hindi lang po niya nire-reject yung pong mga tao who denies the incarnation, but he also affirms the undeniable clarity that Jesus is God. It's inherent doon po sa statement na yon. Jesus as the God-man further affirms yung pong substitutionary nature ng kanya pong atonement through His bodily sacrifice on our behalf. He doesn't just deny yung pong mga tao who rejects incarnation, but He affirms that Jesus is God and further affirms that Jesus is the substitute for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, He Himself bore our sins, saan? In His body. That we might die to sin and live to righteousness. It is through Jesus' physical death and bodily resurrection that He offers yung pong salvation and the possibility of being reconciled and having a resurrected life. The second ground that Paul gives us dun po sa kanyang exhortation is found in verse 10. He says, And you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. Again, like I said, meron pong intentionality dun sa paggamit ni Paul ng words niya dito. In verse 10, yung pong fulfillment na atin pong nararanasan, the fullness that we experience, is directly connected dun po sa fullness of Christ Himself. We are full in Christ because God is in Christ. This, once again, contrasts yung pong empty nature ng false teaching. Paul states that ito pong mga Christians in Colossae find their spiritual completion or fulfillment in Christ. And therefore, if they are going to abandon Christ, it is to turn from all that God desires to complete in them. Because yung completion, yung ating pong fulfillment, is only found in Jesus. And if we abandon Jesus, don't expect to find your fulfillment and satisfaction. Mga members ng Crossroads, do you sometimes feel emptiness? Do you find yourself in a situation that when you reflect on your life, merong feeling of emptiness? And what do you do during these times of feeling empty? Do you watch a movie? Do we buy something new? Do we play a sport? Bigla ba tayong kukuha ng bagong hobby? Do we eat? Para we become full? Do we go on vacation? Again, all these things are good. Hindi po ito masama. It's important to have a break every once in a while, right? Every once in a while. But one thing I would encourage you to do is to remember this verse in Colossians 2, 9-10. For in Him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him. there is your fullness. There is your satisfaction. Brothers and sisters, as God's people, we have been filled in Him. And we can experience yung ating pong true fulfillment in Him. Because apart from Christ, there is no genuine satisfaction. But through His fullness, we are made complete. In Him, and through Him in us, we can fulfill yung ating pong created purpose and experience life in its fullest expression. As Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. In other translations, it says, I came that they may have life and have it to the full. Therefore, as we continue to walk in Him, we as Christians must affirm that He is sufficient sa ating pong theological beliefs and in our everyday behaviors. While we are denouncing every principle or practice that attempts to undermine yung pong fullness ng Panginoon. So Paul warns us not to be taken captive by false teachings in verse 8. He gives us reason for doing so because Jesus is fully God and we are full in Him in verses 9 and 10. But what does spiritual fullness mean? How is this spiritual fullness ours? Well, in verses 11 to 15, Paul completes yung kanya pong argument ng verses 9 and 10. Paul begins his explanation of fullness with complete salvation. Yung pong mga metaphor or yung pong paglalarawan na ginamit po ni Paul dito to explain yung ating pong salvation or yung fullness ng ating kaligtasan ay circumcision and baptism. The point of these metaphors is that we are saved totally and exclusively by the work of Christ. By the work of God through Christ and hindi po through any human activity. First thing that he says is that we are made complete by a spiritual circumcision. Verses 11 and 12. He says, In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. First, dito po sa verses 11 and 12, he says that they, ito po mga taga Colosse, are spiritually circumcised in the circumcision of Christ when they were buried and raised with him. Okay? So, Paul picks ito pong dalawang familiar na ritual dito po sa verses na to. But clearly, he is not talking about physical acts or outward manifestations ng circumcision and baptism. Instead, he is talking about the spiritual reality behind dun po sa physical rites na ito. Alam po natin that the Jews were masters at physical rites. In Genesis chapter 17, is where God instituted yung pong circumcision as a physical sign of the Abrahamic covenant. Diba? Sinabi niya kay Abraham that every male in his household must be circumcised. Ito po ay isang tangible testimony na ito pong mga tao na to who have been circumcised ay in a covenant relationship with Yahweh. Alright? Merong significance yon sa kanila. But the Jews later on began to mistakenly think na ito pong physical rite or yung physical ritual was sufficient all by itself. Doon po sila umasa sa outward ritual. The Bible is clear even in the Old Testament that physical circumcision saves no one. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin Hindi po ng organs, but the foreskin of your heart, and no longer be stubborn. Chapter 30, verse 6, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. And ito pong katotohanan na ito, that no one is saved by circumcision, becomes even more unmistakable pagdating po sa New Testament. In Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, it says, for no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly. Wala pong Hudyo is a Hudyo because of just outside. Parang ginulo ko yung Tagalog ko, no? Malinaw na sa English eh. Ulitin ko po. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly. Nor is circumcision outward and physical. Wala pong bearing yung outward circumcision. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart. Goes back to what Deuteronomy is telling us. By the Spirit, not by the letter. And so, the circumcision that Paul is talking about in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, is yung pong spiritual na operation of putting away, or cutting away, removal, not of a piece of flesh, hindi po flesh na tinatanggal, but the putting off of the body of flesh. Ano po yung body of flesh? It's the sinful nature, as translated sa NIV. Or, as referred to in Romans chapter 6, the old man. What we were in Adam, sinful, fallen, corrupt, Christ destroyed. This happened at the moment of salvation when we were spiritually baptized into Jesus Christ. Then we go to baptism. Ito pong baptism that Paul is talking about dito po sa passage natin is about spiritual baptism, where we are united and identified with Christ sa kanya pong death, burial, and resurrection. This talks about the idea or yung pong concept ng union with Christ. I believe this is something that you have discussed sa inyo pong mga community groups over the past week. So writings po ni Paul, we often see phrases like in Christ, or in Him, or with Christ, or with Him. Paul understands that tayo po bilang mga believers enjoy an unbreakable and everlasting spiritual union with Christ. And ito pong union natin sa Diyos began at the moment of salvation. It began when we first placed our trust in Christ. And so because of this union that we have with Christ, what in a sense it says is, what is true of Christ becomes true of us. Yung kanya pong death on the cross becomes true of us in a sense that we die with Him and yung ating pong old nature dies. And when He was risen from the grave, it becomes true of us as well in that we are raised to life by God. He is filled with God's fullness, and by virtue nung ating pong union with Christ, we are also filled in Him. Doon sa kanya pong circumcision, or in His death, we Christians are circumcised. In His burial and resurrection, we also undergo burial and new life. What is true of Christ is true of us
by virtue of our union with Christ. So how does the putting off of the sinful nature take place? Paano po ba ito nagaganap? Ito po ba ay isang simpleng procedure na kung saan tatawag ka sa medic clinic at magpapabook ka ng appointment for a surgery? Well, the answer, of course, is no. No matter how advanced and sophisticated yung ating pong medical facilities, lalo na sa lugar na ito ng Dubai, no surgery can cut out your sinful nature. Not even one doctor or dozens of doctors can do that. Wala po sa kanila ang makapagbibigay sa atin ng new life. The only solution to our sin problem is if God would perform this operation himself. Paul tells us that this circumcision is not done by human hands. In a sense, meron pong katotohanan dun po sa kantang gusto kong bumait pero di ko magawa. Because unless God would change you, you will never change. Wala pong number of hours listening to motivational speeches could ever change our hearts. No number of pages reading self-help and inspirational books can ever change our hearts. Only God can circumcise your heart and make that change that we need. That is something that He does by His grace. And it is only by His grace that we are given the gift of faith and repentance to respond sa Panginoon. You need to repent of your sins and place your faith in Jesus Christ. Then there is the phrase that says, the circumcision of Christ. Ano po yung ibig sabihin ng circumcision of Christ? Surely this is not a physical circumcision of Christ. It's not referring to His circumcision in that sense. Now we have to note na sa panahon po ng Old Testament, circumcision had both negative and positive connotations. Okay? Listen carefully. Yung pong mga Hudyo would be cut off. Remember, circumcision is cutting off. The Jews would be cut off either for God, they would be separated, chosen for God, they would be cut off for God, or they will be cut off from God. Based po sa kanilang covenant obedience or disobedience. Physical circumcision was a physical sign of a spiritual commitment to be separated unto the Lord. Again, nung tinanggap po nila yung circumcision, it's a sign for them of their covenant with Yahweh. They're, in a sense, they're saying they are for God. All right? Now, based on their covenant obedience or disobedience, would they be for God or cut off from God? So the Lord would bless yung kanila pong obedience and curse yung kanila pong disobedience. If they are disobedient, the Jews would be cut off from the Lord. And so Paul is likely using ito pong wordplay na ito dito. Circumcision of Christ. Christ was cut off from God, not because of His disobedience, mga kapatid. Christ was cut off from God because of our disobedience. Let that soak in for a while. And so in his circumcision, in his being cut off, we also experience circumcision. But not in the negative way, in the positive way. We can be cut off for God because Jesus was cut off from God. Nakuha niyo po? Not because of his own sin, but because of our sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." It is because of Christ's circumcision, his being put off, that this putting off ng ating pong old life occurs. It is at the moment of salvation na kung saan tayo po bilang mga believers in Christ are buried with Christ in baptism by the Spirit and raised with Him with new life. This co-burial and co-resurrection is pictured dun po sa baptism. In water baptism, yung pong immersion portrays yung pong burial with Christ. And coming out of the water depicts yung pong ating resurrection by the power of God to live a new life. As Romans chapter 6 verse 4 says, "We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Mga kapatid, baptism is a picture of the gospel. It is a display of the change that God has done for us. And katulad po ng in-announce kanina, next week, we will be witnessing this transformative power displayed through baptism. So you see, not only are we made complete by circumcision, but also, we are made complete when He made us spiritually alive. Verses 13 hanggang 15, which says, "And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him." Ito pong verses 13 and 14 describes yung pong second means through which the Lord accomplishes His work of spiritual completion sa mga Christians. They are made spiritually complete because although they were spiritually dead in their trespasses, ang sanali po dyan, He made them alive with Christ. And verse 13 describes how those who are spiritually dead, kung paano po sila maaaring maging alive. It says, "Forgiving us all our trespasses." They are made alive by being forgiven of their trespasses. Because alam po natin that yung pong effect ng sin, yung pong kabayaran ng kasalanan ay kamatayan. And this is followed by another thought that means through which our sins are forgiven. Paano po ba napatawad? It says there in verse 14, "By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this He set aside, nailing it to the cross." Nung pong panahon ng mga Romans, kung ang isang tao po ay nagkasala, he committed a crime, or he owed a debt nung pong panahon na yon, they would be imprisoned, and meron pong certificate of debt na kung saan it lists yung pong mga offenses nung tao na to, and yung pong kanyang mga debt na kailangan po niyang bayaran, And that would be posted dun po sa pintuan ng kanyang kulungan. And so, using this analogy, Paul says na ito pong certificate of death na meron po tayo was taken from our head, so to speak, and placed over the head of Christ, who paid ito pong debt na ito in full. And thus, enabling God to extend to them forgiveness. God can forgive yung ating pong mga kasalanan because Jesus paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. And that is very significant. God does not decide merely to forgive without cost. Hindi siya basta lang nagpatawad ng walang kabayaran yung kasalanan. He paid the cost himself. The forgiveness of sins, which is necessary to being made spiritually alive, is a result of the cross of Christ. Now, I want you to imagine, if you would make a list of your sins that you committed in a day. Gaano po kaya kahaba yung listahan na yun? Isang A5? Medyo conservative ng konti. Sa batong A4 paper? Back-to-back ba to? Gaano ba kalaki yung font na pinag-uusapan natin dyan, Brother Aaron? What about for a week? For a month? For a year? Ilang episodes kaya, ilang seasons kaya sa Netflix yan, pagka ginawang pelikula yan. What about from the day you were born up to the present time? Plus the number of years that you would still live on this earth. Because for sure, we will still sin even after this. Imagine how long that list is. And gaano kahaba yung record ng debt that you have to pay. You can never pay that. We can never pay that. But you know what the Bible tells us, mga kapatid? And you who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. Praise God. Kung kayo po ay isang believer sa Panginoon, yes, you still sin. Tomorrow, you will still sin. Even later, we will still sin. That's why how we long for Christ to come para i-renew po yung ating mga katawan. But if you are a believer in Christ, you also know that your sins, past, present, and future, have already been paid in full by Christ on the cross. There is forgiveness for us. But if you are here and you are hearing this and you are not sure sa inyo pong katatayuan before God, know this and let me be clear about this. Apart from Christ, there is no forgiveness for your sins. It is either Jesus would have already paid for your sins on the cross, or you will have to pay for the punishment of your sins in hell. Brothers and sisters, today is the day of salvation. Repent of your sins and put your faith in Christ. And so verse 14 is one of the clearest examples in Scripture of penal substitutionary atonement. God can declare sinners forgiven because Jesus died as their substitute. Mga kapatid, there is also a corporate implication nitong forgiveness na ito sa atin. Yes, it is true that we are forgiven individually, but corollary to that is yung pong katotohanan that if we are forgiven, we are placed into the body of Christ with people who are also sinners, who may have sinned against us, and yet they also are forgiven by Christ. And so kung tayo po ay na-offend ng ating mga kapatid, huwag na po kayong tumingin sa inyong mga katabi. Know this, that it is easy to forgive them knowing that Christ has forgiven them. There is truth dun sa kasabihan, ang Diyos nga nagpapatawad eh. Ako pa kaya. But sometimes people say that out of pride. Kaya kitang patawarin. Diyos nga nagpatawad eh. Ako pa, mas mataas ako sa Diyos. It's like that, di ba? No. God has forgiven your brothers and sisters. And so if they have done something against you, it's easy for us to forgive because of the fact that they have also received forgiveness through Christ. And lastly, verse 15 gives us an additional result nung pong cross. Namely, yung pong victory ni Jesus over the rulers and authorities over which he has previously been described as the head. Pansinin po natin in verse 10 ng chapter 2, sinabi dyan, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. And then in verse 15, he says, he disarmed the rulers and authorities. So in a sense, verses 10 and 15 serves as bookends to mark off yung pong work that Paul describes as the spiritual completion of the believers. Paul employs yung pong language na kaakibat po dun sa Roman triumphal parade, na kung saan yung pong winning na group, a military victory, yung pong conquering general would come back to the city and publicly shaming yung pong enemy generals na kanila pong tinalo. In a similar way, the cross, which was very much public display of shame. Even nung panahon po ng first century, no one would even bother to say the word cross because of the implications, connotations that they are shameful. The cross was actually the means through which God triumphed over the rulers and authorities, thereby shaming itong mga rulers and authorities na ito. On the cross, Jesus won a decisive victory. Wala pong question doon. We know the ending, hindi po ba? It's clear to the universe that Satan is a vanquished enemy. It doesn't mean that we will not have conflict. Yes, talo na po yung kalaban, but he has not yet conceded defeat. He has been overthrown, yes, but he has not yet been fully eliminated. Satan continues to harass us, prowls like a roaring lion ready to devour. But when we understand yung ating pong identity in Christ, we can live above Satan's control. Mga kapatid, we know the ending to this. Let me close by asking you to imagine for a moment that you are a very poor and needy person. You are desperate. Gulagulanit po yung ating kasuotan. Madumi. We haven't eaten for several days. Winter na po ngayon, tayo po ay nilalamig sa labas. We are tired because you have been walking all day. Darkness advances swiftly. And then you notice some lights in the distance through the trees. Yung inyo pong sikmura ay kumakalam habang pinipilit po ninyo yung inyong mga paa to proceed and to go to where the light is. As you draw closer, you see the lights are a blaze of white against the night. It's a huge house. Curtains are drawn back para makita po natin kung ano po yung activity sa loob po ng bahay na yon. As you inch closer dun sa kanila pong bintana, you press your face against the window. You stand there for a few moments without being noticed, and kayo po ay nagulat sa inyo pong nakita. There is a feast inside. There's a huge table that is covered from end to end with more food than you have ever seen in months. Green vegetables, steaming meat, ice cold Coca-Cola, warm bread. And as you see those food sa table, your stomach rumbles, your mouth waters, you feel faint from hunger. And as the butler is serving yung pong mga guests, the master of the house glances over and notices you pressing your face against the window. Then he thinks to himself, here is a needy person. And so sinanyasan po niya yung kanyang butler to go outside and to speak to you. And yung inyo pong first instinct was to run away because of fear na perhaps they would punish you for trespassing. But the butler calls you out and tells you, please, the master would like you to come in and dine at the table. So you go in, wash your hands, and you eat. Your great need has been met by the fullness of the table. In a similar way, mga kapatid, our great spiritual need has been met by the fullness of the table of blessings in Christ. Jesus Christ is the fullness of deity, and from His fullness, He has given us spiritual fullness. Why would we look elsewhere? Why would we look for treasures that we already have in Christ? As believers, we have the awesome opportunity to feed at the table of spiritual blessings in Christ. Mga kapatid, let us not be enticed by false teachings that promises nothing, delivers nothing, but instead let us be captivated by the truth of our sufficiency in Christ, who is our Savior, our Creator, and our Sustainer. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for in Him we find our fullness and satisfaction. Help us not to look anywhere else, but to Him who is able to give us Himself. To Him who is the answer to our questions. To Him who can satisfy our deepest longings. Help us to prize Christ above all. In Jesus' name. Amen.